Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing something that is very important and timely to the multifamily industry, and our topic is boosting affordable housing. What is it and how do we do it? I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jill Herron, the CEO of Herron Property Management, and Jana Hegeman, the president of T&H Investments. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Before we get into the discussion, just by full disclosure to our listeners, you both are coming to us by phone from Indiana. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Wonderful. And I know you have properties and work with properties in states other than Indiana, but that's where you're headquartered, and we really appreciate you joining us today. But let's talk about boosting affordable housing. What is it, and how do we do it? Affordable housing is so important to our country, and let's just get started with a definition, Jill. What is affordable housing?
So affordable housing is the demand for affordable to those with a medium to low household income. And so that is specifically designed for those folks who can qualify for that income guidelines. And so I think that's probably where we struggle a little bit as a challenge with making sure that affordability is really and truly accessible to everyone. Getting that information out there, making sure that that residents and or tenants understand how they can qualify and what that terminology actually means.
And I know both of you have a history with affordable housing. Why don't you each tell us a little bit about your history with affordable housing, starting with you, Jana?
Yeah, so, you know, I started as a real estate attorney and then left the practice of law, got into market rate housing, and realized, you know, it got a little boring for me. You build a project, you kind of sell. And I was talking with our VP of development. He said, you should get into affordable housing. It's awesome. You have a WBE, a women-owned business. It's really fulfilling. You can provide awesome, great quality housing to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it. So I kind of got into it that way, just exploring it and realized, oh my gosh, this is an incredible industry. You feel like you're doing something really good for the world. Like you're creating something that really helps people, but on the same side, it's a great business model. So it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah. And Jill, how about your history?
So I started in housing about 30 years ago and really started in what was referred to then as the Rural Rental Housing Program or Farmer Home Program. So I happened to be out in the Midwest at that time, and we did farmer home programs, which offered rental assistance in towns of less than 5,000. So just like Jana said, it really was a unique opportunity for me to be able to understand early in my career how there is a need for affordable housing. And again, I started off in the rural counties for us throughout the Midwest, and then really was able to develop from that standpoint moving forward, working with a local management company. So I was actually on the management side of it, managing those, finding residents, helping educate residents as we move forward, how they can qualify for rental assistance, and then the challenge of also going and finding residents who meet those qualifications. Because what's interesting about this, and I think from a management standpoint, which becomes challenges, and we'll talk a little bit about this, is that income guidelines. So there are restrictions, which I think is something we need to talk about and work through with our politicians and regulations to see how we can expand that to make that more available to residents so that they're not so stuck in those income guidelines, which in a lot of cases can be very narrow windows.
And I guess, Jana, you know, tell us a little bit about the different types of affordable housing that are out there, and specifically what types have you been involved with?
Yeah, so it's funny because affordable housing, it's such a broad term. There's so many different ways to go about creating affordable housing. One thing, our company, we use LIHTC, which is the Low Income Housing Tax Credit. So how that works is we kind of put an application into the government saying, hey, we want tax credits. And they have a really long kind of rule book that's given to us by the state to say, okay, if you want tax credits, here are the things that you need to do. So we apply for those tax credits. Once we get awarded, the tax credits come into the deal as equity in the project. And then in exchange, we agree to subsidize our rents down. It's usually, you know, maybe depending on the level, a few hundred dollars per month, or it could be a lot lower, depending on the level. We subsidize our rents down. But the cool thing about affordable housing when you use tax credits, that it's an incredible quality building. I mean, we're building green, and we have solar, and we have permeable pavers, and the units are beautiful. We can put in stainless steel appliances because we're getting that tax credit equity, but yet we can keep our rents lower. So we can offer a beautiful three-bedroom townhome or a really nice quality unit to, you know, a single mom with maybe three kids or a nurse who's just getting started in her career. So I think that there can sometimes be a stigma around affordable housing, but that low-income housing tax credit tends to be a really awesome way to finance these projects. There are other kinds of affordable deals. There's workforce housing. There's, you know, trying to use other kind of funding tools, like there's home funds, there's CDBG. But, I mean, I've really found the low-income housing tax credit to be kind of the key to developing affordable housing.
Jill,
I think the great thing about that is Jana just described, and the best way that I've always looked at this is that you're asking residents to be able to just slightly extend their means, but not so in a sense that they're unable to stay within that 30% of their housing needs. And so we are giving them this great affordable housing that locks in their rent rates and then allows their income to continue to grow. But still, as Jana said, is getting something that typically they may not be able to qualify for. So new apartments, great amenities, great appliances, and just really nice floor plans that typically you may not be able to do without programs like Jana just described.
You know, one of the most visible, we've got about a little bit less than 4 minutes. Actually, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. So I don't want to start something that we really don't have a chance to finish, but quickly, you know, one of the most visible things that I think people think of when they think of a need for affordable housing would be the homeless population. Talk a little bit about that, and what can affordable housing help the homeless population? Jill, you want to take that?
Yeah, I think that there are some great programs and avenues, but I think the bigger challenge that I have discovered in the homeless population is how we have to manage that. And what I've noticed, and that creates probably some of the biggest challenges surrounding that, is the resident selection criteria and programs that are there. And what I mean by that is that typically, for landlords, you have things like you need to have a previous landlord history, or you need to have good credit, or you may have to have no criminal activity. Well, when you're talking about a homeless population, which I think is something that we really have to better understand, is what do those qualifications look like and how can we change and redo those so that you're really and truly taking care of the population. So there are programs, Jana, you may want to expand a little bit on that, but there are homeless programs that are out there. And typically, those also work with folks like caseworkers and people that are going to be asking for referrals as you come in, which is, again, another resource for us as landlords and property management companies to help secure residents for those types of housing programs.
All right. Well, Jen, I do want to give you a chance to answer that, but we are up against a break. We'll discuss this some more when we come back with our second segment. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing something that is especially important and timely, and our topic is boosting affordable housing. What is it, and how do we do it? I'm Paul Marks, and joining me are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jill Herron, the CEO of Herron Property Management, and Jana Hageman, the president of T&H Investments. Both located and headquartered in the state of Indiana. But before we jump back in the conversation, I would like to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Jana, before the break, I said I was going to give you a chance to kind of give your two cents worth on what we were talking about at the end of the segment. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, thanks, Paul. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think developing supportive housing, so we call housing for the homeless population, supportive housing, you know, it's challenging. Our companies had to say, we're going to commit to 5% of our units being supportive just because we think it's the right thing to do. But it's challenging, and we found what seems to work for us is when we integrate it into our projects. So if we have a 60-unit affordable project and we integrate 7 units of supportive, that works really well because then you have, you know, the residents kind of coming around and supporting each other, and we have service providers that can provide services to those 7 residents. So in our experience, we found that integrated housing seems to work really well. sometimes if we were to do one large, you know, supportive housing project, those tend to be more challenging. And I'll tell you, I know Jill's managing a few of those, and she is excellent at it. Like, we couldn't do it without having her expertise and be able to manage and handle kind of the challenges that can come with supportive housing. So that's kind of on from the development side.
All right. And speaking of development, let's talk about building affordable housing. And, you know, as a developer, Jana, you know, what do you see as the reasons to do an affordable housing new development out of the ground versus building a class market rate luxury building?
Yeah, so you're really talking about two different markets. You know, when we're looking at affordable housing, we're looking for, I can tell you in Indiana right now, I want a site that has hail damage or fire damage that's within a quarter mile of a grocery store. You know, like, we have really specific requirements we have to find that the state says this is the kind of building or this is the kind of project we want to see you go after. So it's very different. You know, market rate class A, you're looking for, you know, great location, like, you're looking for you know, walkability and transit, and we still want those things, but we are going much more specific to get really at what the state wants us. So it's a totally different market, and to answer your question, we look for what the state's telling us. So if they say this is what we want to see housing in these census tracts, we want to see housing near these employers, that's what we go try to find.
And I have a follow-up for you real quick, and then Jill, I'm going to let you chime in as well. But when you think of market rate, there are so many people out there who develop market rate properties that are merchant builders, and they'll build it and then immediately put it on the market, or even while it's being leased up, put it on the market to be sold. What's a typical hold strategy on an affordable property?
Yeah, so we usually have to hold ours really for 15 years. So once we build and stabilize, we're committed to holding it, keeping it affordable for 15 years. And oftentimes after 15 years, we'll re-syndicate it. So mm-hmm. we'll just kind of do a renovation, put it back on the tax credit program, and re-syndicate it again. So these are definitely long hold projects.
And Jill, I want to ask you, because you're involved in affordable projects that are being developed as well as ones, the existing properties that have been rehabbed, what are the challenges of each? And you know, not only obviously from a rehab standpoint, there's always going to be some challenges, but also from a management standpoint.
I think that some of the biggest challenges, if we talk let's start first with just new development. I think some of the challenges, and Jana hit on this a little bit earlier, some of that stigmatism around it, or not in my backyard kind of thought process when you talk about affordable housing. And so it's really a lot of times for management can be a challenge of educating not only the residents that you're looking for, but also educating the neighbors and others in the community. So as Jana said, there are specifics from affordable housing that have requirements that we have to build. But really and truly, the reason why developers and myself, management companies get involved in development housing is because we see the need, we have a passion, and we want to drive this. So what you just said, Paul, a few minutes ago about merchant builders, that is not at all why we are getting into this. We know that long-term, there's going to be a commitment. Minimum is 15 years, and in a lot of times, in a lot of cases, there's extended use requirements as well, which really and truly makes us stay within the affordable programs for longer than that. So it's really about passion. It's about seeing a need in our community. It can be for seniors. It can be for homelessness. It can be for vets. It can be for families. But it's really designated and designed for those residents that are in need of this. And what we're seeing really and truly in the industry is the need for more and more affordable housing. We know that regulations have been cut over the years, and so this creates challenges for the affordable housing market. But hopefully regulations will continue to loosen and we'll be able to develop and continue with more and more affordable housing.
All right. And
Jill, I think you're exactly right. Affordable housing is not for the faint of heart. I always tell people, you have to have a thick skin, you have to love challenge, you have to be intense, high energy. But you do feel, I always think, you know, when I'm 80 years old and in my rocking chair watching my great-grandkids playing in the front yard, like I want my life to have meant something. And I feel like creating 20,000 units, helping 20,000 families, like that's a life kind of worth, that's a life worth living. So I think to be in this space, you do have to have that community development missional heart to really make it in this industry. And I mean, Jill has that. And that's why, and you have to work with people who have that same heart, because you can get in trouble if you're working with someone who's thinking, man, I just really want to figure out how to, you know, sell this property in 3 years. That's just not feasible.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, if someone is responsible for creating 20,000 affordable housing units, they're going to affect the lives of many more families than that, obviously, over the years with as the apartments turn over and new families move in. So it is a noble cause and something that I'm sure is very satisfying. I wanted to ask you, and we've got about 2.5 minutes left. I wanted to ask you, Jana, from a development standpoint, two things. Number one, how do you secure funding for building these properties? And then secondly, is there government assistance available for developers?
Yeah, so securing funding, the first thing we have to do, there's two different kinds of affordable projects that use tax credits. There's 9%. They're highly competitive. Usually maybe 60 developers in a state will go in with a project. They're going to spend about $50,000 in pre-development, and the state's only going to choose about somewhere between 11 to 16. So it's highly competitive. If you're selected, if your application wins, you get a significant amount of low-income tax credits. So usually we match low-income tax credits with a little bit of perm debt, and then a local match, maybe some tax abatement or, some grant money from the city. So that's how we fund the 9%. 4% are much more challenging. We have to fund those. We get a fewer tax credits. So we fund those with much higher perm debt. Our rents get to be higher. We have to find a lot of soft funding, a lot of incentive on those 4% usually to make them work. So we're going for tax abatement. We're going for single site TIF. We're going for sometimes, the government has a program called Housing Trust Fund money. So we're going for that kind of funding. But if you saw some of the capital stacks on our projects, you'd say, wow, that's quite the stack. I mean, we came short. I crowdfunded for a deal. So we had an old historic church on a site. The community really wanted to save it. And we crowdfunded and raised an extra $100,000 to be able to, fund that deal. So it takes a lot of creativity, but it's certainly worth it.
Yeah, and we've got about 45 seconds left. I wanted to give, Jill, you a chance to talk about it, because I know you're involved in different properties as far as funding goes.
I think Jana said it exactly right. It's very competitive, and I think that where we can strive and where I think Jana's team does a good job is really partnering with others in the community. So I think that's the key to success with these developments and with getting selected. Is really and truly understanding those relationships in the community, how you can develop partnerships, and what are the resources you're able to pull in to help with different types of capital funding.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it here for this segment and be back with our next segment right after this break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is very important, and our topic today is boosting affordable housing. What is it, and how do we do it? I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jill Herron, the CEO of Herron Property Management, and Jana Hageman, the president of T&H Investments, both from Indiana. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So we've talked about the background of and the history of affordable housing. We've talked about building and developing affordable housing. Now I want to talk about something that I think is very challenging, and that's managing affordable housing. And obviously, Jill, this is where your expertise comes in. Being in that, working within that industry. Tell us a little bit about how you can do that today, especially with the limited resources that are available.
Yeah, so I think being creative is what we pride ourselves on, along with really and truly partnering with others within the community. And I think that that's how you are able to be successful in doing this. And so what I mean by that is that there will be resources that are promised in the tax credit application and different programs that have to be maintained and or addressed with different avenues. And so what we have to do then from a management is partner with others in the community to help us fulfill that. A lot of times these projects are small in nature, small in size, anywhere from 35 to 70 units. So our resources are limited with what we can do for payroll and what we can also do for programming requirements. So it's critical that you reach out and you get those to help volunteer and or provide those resources. And some of those things, specifically, I'll use our senior housing right now that we have in Urbana, Ohio, that we're opening up, and it's called Legacy Place, and it's for senior housing. But what we've been able to do is go and partner with the YMCA and the senior centers and be able to provide the resources that are required in the tax credit application. And some of those things include silver sneakers for exercising and making sure that we're keeping seniors involved and active. Financial health. And so what we do with that is we're partnered with the local bank in the area to come in and teach banking and savings and how do you manage at this later point in life the funds that you have left. And so those are some of the programs that we have to go out into the community, find those partners, and manage with as a whole. Then the other challenges that we also experience is just the amount of paperwork that is involved with making sure that we are qualifying the residents. Because this is a tax credit project, that means that there are income guidelines that we have to maintain and annual recertifications that have to also happen. And so what that entails is making sure that residents' income qualify year over year to make sure that we stay in compliance with the program. Some of the challenges that can be is that especially for some types of housing seniors, there may be a lot of bank accounts, there may be homes that they've previously owned, and all of these things come into play when we are trying to make sure that they income qualify. And it can be difficult or challenging with finding some of that information, and a lot of times you may be working with other family members. Same thing when we're dealing with a homeless population, that can be difficult for what program requirements may need for us to do. In some cases, it has to be chronic homelessness, and that becomes a challenge. How do you prove chronic homelessness? How do you find that documentation? And so it's important that we work with the different organizations that can help us be effective in manage the program's requirements.
So, Jan, I want to ask you, as a person who's developed both market rate and affordable housing, would you agree that there are differences in how you manage an affordable property versus a market rate property?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and having an experienced manager who understands affordable housing and compliance and income, you know, certification, it's critical. I mean, we've had, you know, a few management companies that have tried to get into it. I mean, you just need someone with a lot of experience. That's why we appreciate working with Jill, because she has so much experience. And, you know, on the development side, we'll just check a box like, oh, okay, sure, of course we can provide financial literacy, and check the box like, yes, we can do prescription delivery. And, you know, we check our boxes and then we hand it to management once we receive the tax credit award. And we're like, you can do this, right? And having a manager who has a can-do attitude like Jill, who's like, absolutely, we'll find a way. You know, we'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. That's key, versus someone who looks at that and says, I don't know how to do that. Where am I going to get this? You know, and I think that's really, really important, having a manager with experience, a can-do attitude, and they're going to work with you to figure out like how to make the project work.
Yeah, and Jill, I wanted to ask you, because you talked about all the different resources and things, programs that you have to go for, but what is the difference in managing a market rate property versus an affordable property as far as cost? Is it more or less expensive, or are they not even equatable?
I think that they're not even equatable, and the reason for that is the amount of actual paperwork that is required for a tax credit property. So, you know, the nice thing about a market rate property is that you can get somebody qualified and meet the resident selection criteria within a matter of minutes. Literally on a market rate, you're putting in their required information. These programs nowadays that are available can give you a pass or fail for a resident within literally seconds. From an affordable standpoint, because of the tax credit requirements, it's not that simple, because things have to be third-party verified. And that challenge then creates that you have to do three separate attempts in order to get that information. So an application could take up to 2 weeks in timing, and sometimes a little bit longer, to get that information. So just strictly from an employee standpoint, with having to do that and do that follow-up work, it really is two separate worlds that create that challenge. And again, I think the bigger challenge is that on a market rate community, you know, typically you're talking about higher rent, a larger unit mix that could be an average of, you know, 150 units, or even if you were dealing with a smaller 55 unit apartment community, your average rent may be $1,500 to $1,700. An average 55-unit apartment community on the affordable side, your average rent is about $700. And so it's just managing those aspects of the financials coming in, the rent money coming in, and how you're going to be able to have employees take care of everyone and all of the future residents.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment, and I want to ask a question because you stipulated in the beginning of the program that you've got about 30 years in the industry of doing this. And I'd like to kind of get your feel, Jill, for how do you think the affordable industry today is different than it was 5 years ago or maybe even 10 years ago?
I think that the biggest challenges that we are the biggest thing that we've seen is people are becoming more familiar and more aware of the program. If we think about the Section 42 program and these affordable programs, they've only been in play for the last 15 to 20 years. With the affordable Section 8 and HUD-based programs, obviously much longer than that. So what I think we've seen, especially on the Section 42 or the tax credit world, is a better understanding and knowledge of what's happening out in the marketplace. Residents becoming, or future residents becoming, better familiar, better acquainted with the program, and probably more so than when the programs first started. As I indicated earlier, kind of the not in my backyard is starting to change more so as providers and resources such as the WISE and the local cities are starting to embrace the programs and how they work.
All right. Well, we are going to stop it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. We're going to talk about the future of affordable housing in our final segment. So stay tuned. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing something that's very interesting and important to the multifamily industry, and that's boosting affordable housing. What is it, and how do we do it? I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two very special guest and longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jill Herron, the CEO of Herron Property Management, and Jana Hageman, the president of T&H Investments. Both of these ladies are calling in from where they're headquartered, which is in Indiana. And ladies, we talked in the last segment, the very end, I mentioned that this segment we were going to be talking about the future of affordable housing. I think we covered the background and talked about building new properties and managing properties, as well as what is the current state of affordable housing. Let's talk about the future. What, Jill, what do you believe the future of affordable housing looks like?
I think that the future looks like redevelopment and looking for resources that are in opportunity zones. For me as a management agent, I think it's about partnering with someone like Jana, who understands the vision, the importance of impacting a community and redeveloping and or saving old buildings that provide great housing and great resources for residents. That's been something unique that I think Jana and her team really specialize in, and that is going in and really finding old buildings, or in the case of Legacy Place, you know, that was an old school, two separate schools, as well as a dilapidated downtown old hotel. And changing those buildings into senior housing. And so understanding the need of what is in these different communities is, I think, the critical path to moving affordable housing in the right direction in our future.
And Jan, I want to ask you, I mean, redeveloping older buildings is certainly something that is appealing for a lot of reasons. I'm sure it can be a very difficult and expensive proposition. But, you know, one of the biggest issues that I hear people talk about when they're developing, mostly on the market rate side, is the availability of you know, plots of land to be able to find something on that's in an area that makes sense. Is there a shortage of locations, whether it's redevelopment or new build, to be able to find these opportunities to build these or rehab these buildings?
You know, I'll be honest, I haven't found a shortage of locations or buildings to be the issue. There's usually plenty of old buildings that could use rehabbed. I mean, I bet every week somebody sends me a vacant school building and says, hey, could this work for a project? And unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, it's no. So I think that's not really the challenge. The challenge just tends to be finding the right kind of building that fits with the program goals. So like I said, in Indiana right now, we really want to see fire damage, you know, within the last 5 years. So finding a building that's been affected by a fire in the last 5 years, that's more challenging. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's all about the program goals and not necessarily availability of sites and buildings.
What do you see changing? And I know, Jill, from being on the front lines of managing and operating the properties, what do you see as changing as far as amenities and changing potentially in the future as well as far as affordable properties? I mean, it used to be this was very, very basic. You know, four walls and a ceiling type of thing. But what are you seeing now? And obviously, Jana, you're building in these types of amenities now.
You know, I think that's exactly right. You know, 20 years ago, when you were talking about affordable housing, you could be talking about cinder block buildings, right? And four walls and very basic amenities. If any amenities at all, I can remember one of the first affordable tax credit deals that we did was 150 units, and everyone was excited because they put a swimming pool in. And when you look at what the whole design and idea before for affordable housing was really and truly, as we said at the beginning, was to ask residents to be able to live in these fantastic apartment communities and stretch maybe just a little bit outside of their means, but be able to have the luxury apartment community like they would have at a market rate, but obviously cannot afford. So what we've been able to see lately with amenities is all the same amenities that you have in your market rate. So there are the new nice playgrounds. There are the dog parks. There's the pet washing stations. There's the outside grilling areas. As Jana indicated, the appliances are stainless steel. The nice cabinets with the pulls. Great floor plans laid out, which are so unique and open. And then lots of amenities with inside the buildings and resources to the residents. So you're talking about large community rooms that residents can rent out. You're talking about libraries, computer labs and centers. And so those are the unique things that we're starting to see that mirrors exactly what's happening in market rate. And I think that's one of the greatest things over the past 10 years that you've really started to see as the development is changing. And we are now offering products that are equivalent to those in market rate communities.
And I wanted to ask Jana the same question. As a developer, what kind of amenities are you seeing?
Yeah, I think Jill hit the nail on the head, and I haven't told you this yet, Jill, so here's a little surprise. But, you know, we have one project we're working on, a splash pad. You know, we know we're going to have a lot of families. This will actually be a project for refugee families. Like, how do we create a place where kids can play, have a playground and a splash pad? So I think the amenities are really improving. I also think, you know, because we're using tax credit equity, we're held to a higher standard on sustainability. So we have to be LEED certified, and we have quite a few kind of green build requirements. So I think that even elevates our projects. Sometimes I say, you know, they're built nicer than market rate because of the green standard we have to follow.
Yeah. Well,
I think you're exactly right, Jana.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you actually the final question. I want to ask you this, I want to try to keep your answers to about 15, 20 seconds each, because I want to transition into something else in just a minute. But the question is, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal balls and tell me, in 10 years, what do you think affordable housing is going to look like? Is it going to be the same as today? Obviously, no one can actually predict what's going to happen, but what's your feelings about where the affordable housing of multifamily is going to be? And I'll start with you, Jana.
I think in 10 years, there will be a recognition of the need, and cities and towns and communities will want it. And so I think you'll see a lot more of it in 10 years, and I think it'll be as good, if not better, than market rate quality.
Great. And what do you think, Jill?
I have to completely agree with Jana. I think that's something that we're already starting to see, as there are programs and initiatives starting to happen, and not just like at the federal level, but at our state level and in our city, in our county level. So I think what I really see is in the next 10 years, people continuing to embrace, becoming educated and more knowledgeable of how the programs work and how you sustain those programs and how they directly impact the communities in which they are built.
Well, we are going to actually leave that discussion there. I want to transition to something else, but we obviously could talk a lot more about affordable housing. It's something that is certainly worthy of having further discussions on. I'd like to invite you both to come back on again on a future episode. But I want to ask you, I always ask our guests, how'd you get started in the industry? And tell us a little bit about your company. And if someone wanted to reach out to you, how could they do that? We've got about 2.5 minutes left. So why don't we start with you, Jana?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned earlier, I started off as a real estate attorney, got into market rate, and then really found my calling in affordable housing. So started T&H Investments. It stands for Thankful and Humble. And we just want to develop really high quality, great, affordable housing throughout the Midwest and Mid-Atlantic that I always say, if you wouldn't put grandma in it or your sister, then it's not something we want to build. So we exist to improve lives,
by solving community needs with innovative housing. That's our focus.
And obviously, I'm going to put, as I always do, your website link in our episode page. But if someone wanted to reach out to you, how could they do it?
Yeah, they could reach out. My email would probably be the best way. So they're welcome to reach out via email. It's jana.hageman@hagemangroup.com. I'm always happy to talk with people about affordable housing. You know, we're hiring right now, so we're hiring high-quality developers and a VP of construction that really care, that have that altruistic desire to do something good. So always welcome to reach out to me via email, or you can go to our website and hit the Contact Us page too.
Fantastic. So Jill, got about a minute and a half left. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you got in the business and about the company.
Yes, I've been doing this a little over 30 years now, and interestingly enough, I started off as a leasing agent. So that's kind of how I started off in this world, and then moved throughout a couple of different companies that really focused on affordable housing as well as market rate. And so we ended up to where we are today, which is a management company that really likes to partner with developers and owners that have the same visions that we do. I believe that residents are the key to all of our success. Without the residents, we can't build, we can't develop, we can't manage. And so I think that that's probably the key resource that we have is employees. I have always said that we don't build anything in the sense of, from a management standpoint, we don't have widgets we produce at the end of each day. What we have is people. And I think between our residents and our staff members, that's how you continue to elevate and provide good, affordable housing.
And how can someone reach out to you if they want to?
They can reach out with me. Same thing as email. I think it's probably the easiest, and that is Jill@Herron, H-E-R-R-O-N, management, MGMT.com.
Fantastic. Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure having you on again. I'd love to have you back on to discuss more about this very, very important topic of affordable housing. But we're going to have to leave it here for this week. We'll be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.